Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, founder and CEO of Academia IDU. And today, oh wow, this is a fun one. Today we're diving into some science that honestly sounds like it's straight out of a sci-fi novel. But nope, it's published research. I'm talking about the paper Sunspot Activity and Birth Defects Among Texas Births, 1999-201, by Adrienne Hoyt, Charles Shoemate, Dorothy Waller, Angela Shoyle, Peter Langlois, Nalini Ranjit, and Charles S. Lane. Especially a shout out to Charles S. Lane, since we're spotlighting his work along with the team. And just to be super clear, I'm here to present this paper neutrally. This is about exploring scientific insights, not about endorsing claims or drawing solid conclusions. So, sunspots and birth defects, why even study this? Well, the core question here is pretty fascinating. Does the level of sunspot activity, those dark spots you sometimes see on images of the sun, which actually reflect the sun's magnetic turbulence, have any connection to how often birth defects appear in babies born in Texas over a span of about 18 years? The stakes aren't small. If stuff happening on the surface of the sun could possibly impact our health, especially outcomes as serious as birth defects, that's like a huge thing, right? Even if just a signal in the noise, it gets you thinking about how interconnected we are with cosmic events. Okay, so what did Lane and colleagues actually do? Let's get into it. They looked at birth data from the Texas Birth Defects Registry from 1999 to 2016, which is millions of births, and then compared it to data on sunspot activity, which they sourced from NOAA, that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, if you want the full name for trivia night. The key idea was to categorize each birth by how active the sun was in terms of sunspots during the first trimester of pregnancy, the moment when so much crucial fetal development happens. Now let's talk methods for a sec. Don't worry, I won't get too mathy on you. They divided sunspot activity into quartiles, think least sunspots, some more, and then a lot, then used some statistical heavy lifting, namely Poisson regression, to estimate the odds of different birth defects showing up at each sunspot activity level, while controlling for stuff like the mom's age, race or ethnicity, and education. The idea with all those adjustments is to iron out other factors that might explain things, so the sunspots get the spotlight. So, what popped out from that analysis? Here's where it gets both interesting, and honestly, a little hard to interpret. The authors found that, for a little over half the birth defect categories they looked at, higher sunspot activity during the first trimester was associated with a lower occurrence of those birth defects. Not all of them, just over half. For example, conditions like anophthalmia, no eyes forming, or some heart defects seemed less common during periods of more sunspot activity. But, and big but, for a couple of other conditions, lung development issues and microcephaly, higher sunspot activity actually showed a higher rate. Here's the zinger though. What the paper's authors say is that this protective effect might not mean sunspots are good for your health. It could be that during heightened solar activity, there's actually more early fetal loss, spontaneous abortions that just aren't always recorded. So what you see on a population level is that fewer birth defects are ultimately counted, but not necessarily because sunspot activity prevented them. The story's a little more complicated. And just to reiterate, I'm presenting the findings as published, not promoting any wild cosmic health theories. Science is all about, well, chasing leads, finding new patterns, refining. Nothing here is absolute truth. It's a lens, a way to ask better questions. For you, the listener, what does all this mean? I think mainly it's a demonstration of science's willingness to probe even the weirdest, most cosmic connections. It's a reminder that lots of things, sunspots, dietary folate, genetic quirks, might interweave in the tapestry of health. So, if you're a researcher, it's a call to get curious. If you're a parent, it's a nudge to keep doing what works. Balanced nutrition, regular checkups, prenatal care. Definitely not go stare at the sun and pray for sunspots, please. And if you're just curious, wow, you never know where the next frontier of discovery will be. One quick tangential thought. Did you know ancient cultures would sometimes interpret sunspots as omens? Actually, I wonder how many natural phenomena ancient observers might have connected to human fortunes. Probably a lot, right? Sorry, digression over. All right, that's our journey into the radiant, mysterious sunspot science for today. As always, remember, academic research is a conversation starter, not a stone tablet. Take these insights, turn them around in your mind, talk to your friends, and keep asking questions. Thanks again for tuning in to In Depth with Academia. Until next time, I'm Richard Price, wishing you curiosity and clear skies, figuratively, if not literally.